Today on Real Radio.
But some people see the goodness of God and say, "My, this is the great kingdom I have built." And then some people look at the goodness of God and say, "Oh God, you've been good to me.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love."
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're examining the part of chapter 15 that features one of the Messiah's most well-known parables, that of the prodigal son. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called Christian, Come Home.
My friend, listen, you are a Christian and you've run from God. It's time to run back to God. It's time for you to get back home. I know the emotions and the feelings might be saying to you, you can't come back, God will never have you, it's never going to work. But listen, your emotions underestimate the power and the grace of God to forgive you. And then also this, verses 17 and 18, hope awakens when true repentance is stirred. Now this is a very interesting thing. Those of you who are going to Bible school or Bible college, seminary, whatever, there's something that is very, very well known about the parable of the prodigal son. It is a story about redemption. It is a story about repentance. It is a story about forgiveness. The interesting thing is, not one of those things are mentioned in the parable. You want to know why? The parable is a living, breathing definition of those words. It doesn't have to say, "And he repented." Well, why not, Pastor? Isn't the word repent a very important part of the gospel? It's the first word of the gospel. But it doesn't have to be said in this parable because the actions prove what the word means. It's kind of cool. This guy is stirred up to repentance. Look what it says in verse 17. He said to himself, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and that to spare, but I perish with hunger? I know." Look at verse 18. "I will arise." In the Greek, it's emphatic. I will arise. I will go to my father and I will say to him. Three things. And what does he say? "I've sinned against heaven and before you." Church, listen carefully. There are three key elements of repentance. This young man begins to, we would say, see the light. Note this, verse 18, how this relates. "I will arise." The will regards the motive. Now, you're going to want to pay close attention to this in a moment. It's going to kind of get you going here. When he says, "I will arise," he's talking about his will. That's his motives. I will arise. Secondly, and these are all important regarding asking God and having God forgive us, it involves his mind. He makes the decision. He says, "I will go." And thirdly, his emotions result in action. He says, "I'm going to arise, I'm going to go," and his emotions generate an action. And his action is this, "I will say." That is very, very important. Because when hope begins to be awakened in the heart of someone who is bound up in condemnation, maybe you're here today and you feel like God doesn't love you, that God will not love you, that you've sinned just too far for God to forgive you. I want you to hear today loud and clear. That's why I'm yelling at the top of my lungs. I want you to know there's hope for you today. My friend, don't give up. Don't stop having hope, because right now, today, hope awakens these things, and it awakens this, that you can get up, that you can go back to God, and you can say something to him. You can speak to him again. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." The word repent means change your mind. You can do that. You're in a battle. No, Jack, you don't know. I mean, I used to walk with God. God used to use me. Maybe I was in the ministry. I got away from God, and there's no way he would have me back. Listen, my friend, don't insult him like that. Come back. Change your mind. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 28:20, "Behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world"? Who did he say that to? To those who believe in him. You may be wayward from God, but you can come back. All is not lost. Repentance begins to stir the heart. And thirdly, under this point, hope awakens. Because listen, humility is here now. Humility is in the heart. This young man's humble. Do you guys remember him from a few weeks ago? He was an arrogant little stinker. You and I wanted to turn him over our knee and paddle the kid. Nope, he wanted his money, and he went into some town, wasted all of his money on riotous living. And now he's working for a pig farmer, slopping up pigs, and then he begins to realize, man, I had it better at home. Humility. Look at verse 19. He says to himself, "I'm going to go tell my dad this when I get back, if he'll have me. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." Church, do you see that? Do you hear how humble now this guy is in this parable? I want you to mark that verse, verse 19. You are not going to like what I'm going to say. He said, "How do you know?" Because this is the third service of the day. I've already survived two services. And what I'm going to say to you, for those of you who will try it, you'll know it's true. If you have a wayward son or daughter, they're gone. They said, "I'm out of here. I am not going to live under this house with you. I'm not going to do this anymore. I can do my own thing, and I'm leaving and I'm gone." And they leave, as it were, with a bag of money. And they go out and live their life on their own. They want to be adult. They want to act like adult. They want to play like an adult, and they go out and they do all those things. And then you get a phone call. Seems to happen 1,000 times a day. A phone call comes in. "Hey, Dad, I need some money." "Well, son, where are you?" "Well, I'm at a friend's. Do you have any money?" "Well, can you tell me about what's going on?" "Oh, that's what you just want to know about my life. Forget it. I knew you'd be like that." You'd hang up. Listen, what do you do in a situation like that? Just keep praying. Don't you dial *86? Or whatever that number is to call back or whatever? No, don't do that. Maybe a few weeks goes on again and he calls back. "Mom, I'm asking if you have any food. Maybe I can swing by and find some food." Notice, first of all, it was money. Then secondly, now it's food. "Well, sweetie, where are you?" That's not important. "Can I come by and get some food? Are you going to stay?" "No, I don't want to stay. I just need some food." "Stop bugging me, Mom, will you? Just give me some food." "Well, we want to know how you're doing and where you've been and what's going on." "I can't take you guys prying into my life." Click. What do? Keep praying for them. "Well, Pastor, don't I send him a care package?" You want to send him a care package? Put a Bible in it. Let him eat on that for a while. I'm dead serious. You say, "You're cold-hearted." You're cold-hearted, Pastor. Just wait a minute. We are ruining the lives of our kids. This father never budged until there was a certain thing in order. It's a picture of our God in heaven. You think God is chasing you all around town while you're sleeping with Bubbles or chasing Rocky or dropping acid or stealing this or doing that? You think God's running around, "Oh, Junior, wait. No, God will do this. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. God's hand's not short that he will not save you, neither is his ear deaf that he cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from your God so that he will not rescue you and he will not hear you. And God just goes like this. "I'll just wait right here." And parent, you need to do the same thing. But your emotions are driving. Your emotions are trying to make it all better. And you can make it exactly worse. Trust me on this. Hold your ground. Pray for your kids. Because what happens? This young man begins to wake up and says, "I'm not worthy to be called the son of my father any longer. And I'll be happy to be one of his servants." When that level of humility is established in a heart, and brokenness, we call it, you can do something with that. Those of you who failed to heed this warning, you will continue to enable your child for the rest of their lives to wind up to be an absolute nothing in the end, because they never had to suffer the consequences of their decisions. Everybody wants their own freedom of choice, but no responsibility for those choices, and that is an impossibility. Please hear me. Take a note from this. The boy in his squalor and suffering begins to see the light, and he says, I'm not worthy. The Bible says in Ezekiel 36, 27, God says, I will put my spirit in you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Isn't that beautiful? God is saying, you'll keep my judgments and you'll do them. Why? Because God can work with a heart like that. Hope awakens, verses 17 to 19. And listen, number two, from verses 20 to 21, Christian, come home, because compassion comes when you return home. Compassion. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. When you and I turn back to God, when we turn to him, note what happens. We begin to make our way back, and he arose and he came to his father. This is the breaking point, and that's powerful. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Am I going too quick? You guys okay? In Romans 2, 4, the Bible says, do not despise the riches of God's goodness, nor his forbearance or his long-suffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Wow, did you hear that? Are you running far from God? And you say, yeah, I'm far from God, but things seem to be going okay. Don't you understand it's the goodness of God that's trying to reach you first? By the way, have you ever seen people who are not Christians at all? They don't know God at all, and their life is like super blessed. And you're like, what's the deal? I'm a Christian. I can barely rub two nickels together. This guy's a knucklehead, and he doesn't even know God, and everything he touches turns to gold. What's the deal? Hey, God is working, and for some people, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. You say, well, can't God try that on me sometimes? Some people wake up. I mean, you look at some of these people. This is pretty much the testimony of Denzel Washington. You see what's going on in his life? He's too blessed. You guys know who he is? He began to look around, take stock of his life. What in the world is going on? I got all the money I need. What am I going to do with all this stuff? He began to realize that Denzel Washington wind up asking Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of his life. Denzel Washington was changed by the power of God. Now, I say that today. I would not want to live in Hollywood. I pray it's so next week. That's a tough world to live in. Pray for him. But some people see the goodness of God and say, my, this is the great kingdom I have built. And then some people look at the goodness of God and say, oh God, you've been good to me. And give their life to Christ. In this young man's particular life, he had to hit bottom before he could look up. That's generally the case. But to turn back to God, God's compassion is extended, and he's saying, come on back to me. And this young man arose, and he made his way to his father. And I love this next one. Compassion comes, my friend, verse 20, when we draw near to God. Mark that down, please. This is all important. You cannot say Christianity doesn't work for you, or God doesn't care about you. You, my friend, need to turn and get back to him. Now, technically, Christian, he's never left you. Did you know that? So, well, it feels like he left me. You left him. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But when you run off and do your own thing in this life, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit just begins to quiet down. He begins to become, as it were, a shut-in in the heart of your life. And he's not speaking. He's not talking. You might say, well, God's not answering my prayers anymore. That may be true. He's waiting for you to come back to him. Now, note this. This is one of the most tender things in all of the Bible, in my opinion. Verse 20, and why we need to draw near to him, because this young man in the parable draws near to his father. It says, but when he was still a great way off. Church, help me out here. Who is a great way off? The son is. Well, technically, if the son is a great way off, then the father's a great way off, right? Watch what happens. Number one, mark it in your Bible. While he was a great way off, number one, his father saw him. He didn't see his father. His father saw him. Number two, and his father had compassion on him. Number three, his father ran to him. Number four, it's his father who fell on his neck. Number five, it's his father who kissed him. Do you see the power in this? Christian, come home. The God of heaven and earth, he sees you. You're so funny. You strayed away. I'm going to go into this other town and do mischief. I'm going to be naughty. Nobody will know. Are you silly? Christian, God can see you from afar off. Hey, he's saying to you, what are you doing over there? This man is repentant, coming home, heading back a far, long way off, and the Father sees him. Don't you think that's significant? I'm not reading too much into this. It would presuppose that the Father's scanning the horizon for his son coming. How often? How many hours in a day? The Father's looking. Maybe the Father's dealing with his employees and taking care of his ownership of things. But when a parent's heart is broken and their child is wayward, their heart is fixed on the horizon. And that horizon could be the ringing of a phone. It could be the driving by of a car. Or it could be the sound of your voice and the parents looking, longing, and waiting. You say, not my parent, Jack. We ended our relationship in a very bitter way. Let me tell you something. That parent is looking and waiting. And this parent is looking. This father saw his son from afar off. And that's an awesome thing. He had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And what cracks me up about this is how is it that the old man could recognize the son so far away? We know this. He wasn't wearing the same clothes. Whatever he went and bought and spent all his money on fine living, now he's probably, remember, he worked for a pig farmer, and he's been sleeping and slopping the pigs. So his clothes are probably filthy and stinky. We know this, that he's smelling like a pig. How does a parent recognize, and how does God recognize you and I when we're so far from home? Listen, only a parent, listen, kids, you don't have any idea. If you don't have older children, you don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you right now, a parent, by the design of God, their kids can be dressed up in a Halloween outfit, and a parent can tell. First of all, God gave all mothers eyes in the back of their head. Look back there when they're sleeping. You'll find something, I'm sure. But there's something. The father's looking on the horizon, and maybe it's the gait in his son's walk. Maybe it's a limp, or maybe it's a certain way that kid, that boy, hangs his head. I don't know what it is, but it's unique, and a parent knows that. A parent can spot their kid a mile away. That's why you're always getting in trouble. How did mom know? Psalm 73:28 says, "It is good for me to draw near to God." James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And Jeremiah 29:12-14 says, you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And listen, you will seek me and find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, saith the Lord. God, look at it. He's saying like this, come on, chase me, will you? Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Come back, he's saying. Stop living the way that you're living. And everything about this parable is a declaration of affirmation. This boy's coming back. He's saying, I'll just be happy to eat what my dad's servants eat. I'll be happy to be hired as one of his servants. Notice this. The father has expressed the fact that he saw the son. He had compassion on the son. He ran to the son. He fell on the son's neck and he kissed the son. You guys, everything here that the father does is what the son should have done to the father. And what a divisive thing that is for many relationships today. Nope, my son ran out on me, I'll teach him. And you've got, listen, dad, you've got your wall built up, and after all, you are the dad, and you brought him into the world, and you'll teach him a lesson or two. Let me tell you something. It's not worth it. If your son's coming home and he's broken and his heart has been touched and he's saying, Dad, I'll be happy just to take out the trash in your home. Just let me back in. Listen, my friend, I got some advice, Dad. Look at your son, have compassion on your daughter, run to your boy, fall on her neck, and kiss him. You are a picture in front of their mind, no matter how old you get and how old they get. You are a picture of God to them. You are Dad. And that will never change. And I know all the pain that surrounds all of that stuff. God loves the family. We've made it a mess. God designed it. We thought we could do it better. Affirmation. Every child, listen, every son and daughter always looks to the crowd to see if Dad is watching. Did you know that? Do you remember that? It doesn't matter if there's 10,000 people in the crowd. Did my dad see me? Listen, those of you who have kids in athletics, sports, whatever it might be, any sort of competitions, whatever it might be, you know what? You go to those games, and you be the most big mouth, loud, obnoxious parent possible. That's my boy! That's my boy! You see the kid who just fumbled? That's my kid! What a fumble that was! That's my girl! Look at her! She fell off the balance beam! Nobody can do it as gracefully as my daughter can! Love them. They're looking to the crowds to see. And this young man's coming back. No doubt his chin is against his chest, but his father looks to him. And every kid wants to see their father's face. And then compassion. That's that form of tenderness that can only come from a dad. Moms have compassion. It's amazing. Moms say things like this. Did you fall down and hurt your knee? Come here. Come here. Let me kiss that knee. Is it better now? And all that stuff. And there's nothing. Mom's compassion is the best. It hurts here too. And right there. Mom's the best. And then the great thing about mom is, are you okay? Here, eat this Twinkie. You'll feel better. A mom's compassion is the best. But it's not the only compassion that a child should have. A kid needs a mom and a dad, and a kid needs a dad's compassion too. And a dad's compassion is, son, come here, what'd you do? Dude, that is some skinned up knee. That looks awesome, come here. Let me take a look at that. Wow. I remember I skinned my knee like that, come here. And you rub him, you scratch his back, and you say, Lord, bless his boo-boo, make it feel better. Just touch him right now, and get back out there in that game, you're doing great. Kids love that. And then this man ran to his boy. The father ran to the sinning son. The sinning son should have ran to the father and said, man, you know what? I wouldn't blame if you hung me. The father runs. You say, well, I don't care about that, so what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. The big deal is in the Middle Eastern culture, no father runs toward his son. Did you know that? No father in the Middle East runs towards his kids.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a presentation taken from a section of Luke chapter 15, where Jesus tells of the prodigal son. It's actually a mini-series as we journey verse by verse through this New Testament historical narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this mini-series is actually available in a 4-DVD set. It's called Christian, Come Home. If you've been thinking about that friend or loved one while listening to Pastor Jack and wish that they could hear the series, well, it's yours for a contribution of any size to Real Radio. Just ask for it by name, Christian, Come Home. There's more than one way to contribute to Real Radio. First, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.